Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we have celebrated the birth of Jesus. We have welcomed the new year. We have remembered the visit of the wise men to the Christ child, giving thanks for the good news that Jesus came for all nations. As of this past Wednesday, the day of Epiphany, the celebration of Christmas, which for some of you began all the way back on September 1st, it's now finally and officially over. So, now that Christmas is over, what should we do with it? Should we pack it away and throw it out like we do with all of our other Christmas stuff? Now that we're done with Christmas, can we just dump it and walk away from it? Leave it on the curb, hide it in the attic, as if it means nothing now that it's over. That's exactly what our culture does with Christmas. Our culture was done with Christmas as of 6 p.m. or so on Christmas Day. Our culture is wondering, why is Pastor Whaling even talking about Christmas today? Christmas is so 2 weeks ago. But for Christians, Christmas is just beginning. We who believe that this Christ child came to save us from our sins and came to rise again in victory for us and will come again one day in glory and power, we're just getting started. The implications and consequences of Christmas are ongoing for us. You heard this in some of the Christmas hymns. We sang in some of those hymns not only about what happened that first Christmas, but also about what continues to happen because of Christmas. Christmas keeps going, in other words. So, for example, O little town of Bethlehem, verse 4, we said this, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. Christmas keeps going, according to this verse. Jesus, the baby in the manger, lives within each of us, abides with us, casts out our sin with the forgiveness that he won for us on the cross. All of this by faith in him. Faith that keeps going all year long. Or how about what child is this? Verse 3. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Christmas keeps going, according to this verse. Loving hearts enthrone him. We who have been loved and saved by this Christ child, we turn around and love him back by putting him first in our lives. We enthrone him. One more hymn. One more Christmas hymn. See amid the winter snow. Verse 4. Teach, O teach us, holy child, by thy face so meek and mild, teach us to resemble thee in thy sweet humility. Christmas keeps going. As we are saved by Jesus, we are also transformed by his Spirit. Jesus continues to work in us so that we become more and more like him and less like the world. Titus chapter 2 says it this way, "The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." Christmas keeps going. Christmas has consequences. The Christ child is continually at work among us, growing us in faith and hope and godliness. These consequences of Christmas can be described in two words: loved and sent. We are, each of us, loved and sent. Two very simple words, but they are profound in their application to our Christian life. Let's look at that first word, loved. Because of Christmas, you and I know that we are loved by God. But of course, the word love is problematic, because we use that word love so much for so many different situations that no one really knows what it means anymore. Love can be a fuzzy feeling. Love can be a strong but temporary attraction to someone or something. Love can be a lifelong commitment. I can love my dog, love the beach, love my kids, love my wife, love God, and love Cool Ranch Doritos. When you throw a word around like that, in all those different situations, all those different contexts, it begins to lose its meaning. What does it mean to be loved? What does it mean to be loved by God? Of course, our popular culture wants to jump in here and say, here's what love is. And they throw at us countless love songs and romantic comedies and sitcoms at us, each of which supposedly knows exactly what love is. We're taught that love is the happiness that you feel when you're with someone. It's nice while it lasts, but it's temporary. And it is easily discarded when it's over. The Hollywood people who write and perform these love songs and sitcoms, they tend to treat love exactly that way also in their own personal lives. So that love, it's all about me, and it works as long as it makes me feel good, and it's almost always very temporary. Love like that turns out to be awfully empty. What does it mean to say that we are loved by God? How about we listen to Scripture? The primary word for God's love in the New Testament is the word agape. Agape. Agape is not fluffy puppy love. It is not a feeling or an emotion. It's not based on any conditions, as in, if you love me, I'll love you back. Agape is not about a feeling. It's not a scorecard that tracks whether I'm getting as much out of this relationship as I'm putting in. Agape is action. It's action. Selfless, sacrificial action. Specifically, agape love is the selfless act of giving yourself up for someone else. 1 John 4, verse 10, for example, says, "In this is agape, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." God's love is action. It is something that He does. In love, God sent His Son to save us. The symbol of God's love is the cross. The cross shows us what love truly is. The cross shows us how God loves us selflessly, sacrificially. The cross is where Jesus gave His life for us so that our sins are forgiven and we are made right with God and we have eternal life because of that love that is demonstrated on the cross. This is what it means to be loved by God. It is His selfless, sacrificial action toward us. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. God just gives it through Jesus, His Son. So we are loved. We are also sent. That's the other word that describes those for whom Jesus came at Christmas. We are sent. Love is not satisfied to sit still. Love is action. God has sent us. God sent Jesus to save us, and God also in love has sent us. So John 17, verse 18 says, Jesus said, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." That them is us. We are sent to love others as we have been loved by God. We are sent to serve others as we have been served by God. And as we have been loved in the same way we love others. With God's love for us, it is selfless. It is sacrificial. With God's love for us, there is no scorecard. There is no, am I getting as much back as I'm giving? This is the love we have received from God. Now we are sent to show that love to others. For the next several Sundays through the season of Epiphany, I'll continue to explore what it means to be loved and sent, and what being loved and sent reveals to us about who God is and why we're here. Because Christmas keeps going. So stay tuned. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.